The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
"And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Hi, my name's Carl Trimboli, and I'd like to speak to you today from the Bible, from God's Word, about the priesthood, how it changed from Israel's day to Christ's day when he walked on the earth to our day today in our time of grace. And we'll see interesting points and facts as we go through, and we'll look specifically at the office of the priesthood, why God initiated the priesthood and what it had for the people of Israel, what they had to do within that office. First, we read in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14 there, the Lord talking to Moses and Aaron. He says to Moses to go get Aaron that he can speak for you, for the people, to the people. But it said in verse 15, "And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, in Aaron's mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, Moses." So God was going to speak to Moses. Let me put this up on the board as we go through here. God was going to speak to Moses, and Moses was going to speak to Aaron, his brother, the Levite. And then Aaron was to speak to the people. Okay, I guess I got that all spelled right there. Now, this is how God was going to speak through Moses to Aaron, to the people. Moses said in the verses preceding that he was not eloquent and he was shy and meek. And he says, go get Aaron and he'll speak to the people instead. And this is how the priesthood started. In Exodus chapter 28, we'll see who it was designed for. When we go to our Bible verses, we have to know who God's speaking to and why he's talking to them and what instructions they are. And do we follow those instructions today, or were they something that passed on in time past? Exodus 28, verse 1 says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." But you'll notice there in the verse it said that Aaron, he was a Levite of the nation of Israel, and he said him from among the children of Israel. The priesthood is taken from among the nation of Israel. Moses and Aaron were Jewish. They were of the nation of Israel, and they had to do what God commanded. The priesthood could only operate if you were an Israelite, a Jewish person. And specifically in Moses and Aaron's day, it had to be Aaron's sons. Nobody else could qualify for the priesthood. So it goes on, and it gives some other qualifications here. In verse 2 said, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So he not only had to be an Israelite, of the nation of Israel, of course, and he was a Levite, and he had to wear now a special garments that God required him to wear, that he might minister unto him, unto God. If you'll notice now in verse 4, it tells us some of the garments. "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." And we see some of this today. If we look around in some of the organizations and religious organizations today, we see people that call themselves priests that have different garments, that look different from other people. And what they do is they take certain things from God's Word and they take them out of context and use them in a ceremony today wherein it was required some time back. And we'll see the difference why, and I'll talk to you from God's Word, not from tradition. This will be important. But back here, when God said, "Set up a priesthood for me," he says they have to be Jewish, they have to wear this certain garment, they have to be of the sons of Aaron, of course, and we'll go on to see some more what they have to do. This office is God's. God is creating this office, not man. God is instructing man to do this for him. This is for a reason. And in verse 29, it says, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel." Watch this as we go through. This is going to pop up time and time again. This priesthood is designed to function for the nation of Israel, not for the Gentiles on the outside. If you know anything about the history of Israel back in the Old Testament days, that Israel was a strange and peculiar people to the rest of the nations. The nations were heathen and they worshipped all kinds of gods. The nation of Israel worshipped the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's who the nations were supposed to look to. And God took them and made them a special and peculiar people unto him. And he says now that they're required to do this office of the priesthood. And what else they have to do here shows up in verse 30. It says, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of the judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." Anything that Israel has done as a nation, that Aaron was supposed to bring this have this on his heart before the Lord all the time. There was a reason for this. In chapter 29, in verse 1, it says, and as we go through this, think about the priesthood today, or the so-called priesthood. And what they do is they're taking some things from the Old Testament, which we have no business taking our instructions for today from, and I'll show you why. It says in 29:1, it says, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil and wafers, unleavened anointed with oil of wheaten flour, thou shalt make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and with the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garment and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and gird him with the curious girdle and the ephod." We keep going on with instructions, and I don't mean to keep reading just passage after passage, but this goes and shows instructions, specific things to do, detailed work on how God wants his priest to operate in the nation of Israel. To the children of Israel, it says. It's not to the Gentiles outside the nation of Israel. And in verse 29:4, we saw that they were supposed to be washed with water. And this is important. As we'll see later on, you remember that they needed to be washed with water as a sign of cleansing. That's like a baptism. And in verse 5, 6, and 7, we saw that in verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him." So they needed to be washed with water and anointed with oil. So they have the garment, they have to be of the nation of Israel, they have to be of the sons of Aaron, they have to wear special clothing, they have to be washed with water and anointed with oil. And when God says something, he expects them to do things exactly and specifically as he said, and for a reason. In Leviticus 1:5, let's go to the book of Leviticus. By the way, if you have a Bible, follow along as you would see the verses for yourself. Leviticus 1, verse 5, there's something else the priest has to bring as he ministers to the nation of Israel. It says, "And he shall kill the bullock," that's a young bull, "before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And then they tell you how to take and cut this animal up, and what to offer, and how to offer it to God. So they had now offerings, blood sacrifices required. Now the priest is the only one that can bring the blood sacrifice. All this throughout the whole Old Testament, when you see the priest and the sacrifice, what it's doing now is showing us a picture of Jesus Christ. This is a type, what we call a type of Christ going through the Old Testament. This animal sacrifice with the blood is a type of Christ. And we'll find out later on in the book of Hebrews what that actually pictured. So now we find out that the priest has to bring blood, and it gives specific instructions on how to take this animal and offer it. In chapter 4, we find out what the sacrifice is for. There's a reason for the sacrifice, and it is found in Leviticus 4:14, and it's found in many other places also. But it says there, "When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation," the whole congregation, not just one individual, "the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation." So here the priest, the office of the priesthood, needed to bring an animal, a young bull, without blemish, and bring it for sin. And when he offered that bull on the altar, that was a sacrifice for the sins of the nation of Israel. So there was a reason for the priesthood, and the things that God commanded him to do were very important. Without the priest in Israel's day, there was no forgiveness of sins. And we have to remember that. That office, as we go through all of this, rather than focusing on the man, the person, that Jewish individual that did all these ceremonies, he was all dressed as God commanded him to dress, and now he's got to take this bull and offer it on an altar for sins. We have to understand that was something that they had to do for forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to put a question to you. If that's how you're going to have your sins forgiven today, through a priest and the priesthood, we have to remember something about the office and not the man. The office that God initiated back in Israel day is important. It's critical. It was the only way they could have their sins forgiven. And that's not how he tells me to have my sins forgiven today, and why there's been a change. The office of the priesthood has gone, and we'll see that in just a second. But now, getting back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, we'll see a few more verses here before we move on. And in chapter 16, verse 21, and it says, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel," the whole nation, not just one or two or three people that have sinned, but he makes atonement for the whole nation of Israel. It's a national thing. We don't have a national thing today. It's an individual forgiveness of sins. And so that's the nation of Israel, and it goes over and over and over again. The priesthood was for Israel, and it was designed for their forgiveness of sins. And in verse 34 there, it says, "And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel and for their sins once a year, as he did, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses." So this is Aaron. We started out talking about God was going to talk to Moses. Aaron Moses was going to talk to Aaron, everything that God told him, and then Aaron was going to pass that down to the people. These two, Moses and Aaron, were the go-betweens. They were the bridge that bridged God to man. Otherwise, there could have been no way to go directly to the people. That was not allowed back in Israel's day. You could not go to God directly back in Israel's day. You needed to go through Aaron, through the priesthood. Let's put this up here, the priesthood. And they had to do all those things as we discussed, and you'll remember those as we go through. And in 17:11, here's a critical verse. And as we talked about, the priest had to bring the blood for the forgiveness of sins. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it," that means the blood, "have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls." So they needed atonement. They needed forgiveness of sins. They needed their sins covered. And it was the blood that God required of that animal and that priesthood's office that gave them their forgiveness of sins. And I'll tell you today that if there's one thing that I could find out from God's Word, regardless of whether it be the second coming of Christ, whether it be different ordinances and laws and rules and the things that the nation of Israel did, of the rapture, of all different things, I want to know how to have my sins forgiven. And if I don't know how to have my sins forgiven, I'm not going to glory. I'm not going to heaven, because it says in here, I need perfection. I need perfection, and it's not, as we'll see, under the animal sacrifice. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me catch up here. The priesthood was a necessary office, and God ordained it, and he told them exactly what to do. And it's interesting, as we get into the book of Matthew, the chief priests, as God has started the priesthood here with Moses, as time carried on and as Christ came in the book of Matthew there time-wise, and the Bible has something to say, and I just took and jotted some things down from God's Word. When it said chief priests, I wrote down what the Bible had to say about them, and it's not good. Matthew 12:5, I'll just give you some excerpts from the verses. It said they profane the Sabbath. It says Christ suffered at the hands of the chief priests. These are supposed to be the men that take the people to God, and this is what the priesthood is doing. It says Christ was betrayed into the hands of the chief priests. The chief priests were displeased with the holy. The chief priests tried Jesus with questions. The chief priests sought to lay hands on Jesus, to plot to kill Jesus. They purchased Jesus from Judas. They took Jesus and accused him falsely. This is the chief priest. They delivered him unto Pilate. And the money that they gained was more important than the life of the man. They asked for Barabbas. They mocked Jesus. And they bribed the soldiers. This is the chief priest. It became corrupt. That which God ordained to become the picture and type of Christ had fallen away from what he had ordained it. The office is now corrupt. Jesus Christ now comes into his ministry in Matthew chapter 3. And we'll see some things that are interesting about what we talked about before with the priesthood. Jesus Christ now takes over the office of the priesthood. And in 3 verse 14, we'll see, "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering, said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And it said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And as Jesus Christ went into the water and was baptized by John the Baptist, he was washed with water. And that was one of the things that God told Aaron and Moses to do with the priests, for Aaron's sons, that they first needed to be washed with water before they could enter the priesthood. And then they needed to be anointed with oil, and that's a type of the Holy Spirit that runs through the Scriptures. And he was then anointed with the Holy Spirit. And his priesthood began there at his baptism as he started out his way. He is now the priest of Israel. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:15, he said, I lay down my life for my sheep. He not only is the priest, but he also becomes the sacrifice for sin. And he says, I lay my life down and I take it up. He has power to do that. And in John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At this time, the priesthood is now beginning to change. And as in time past, Moses and Aaron were the go-between with the priesthood and the priesthood's office, it's now Jesus Christ. Who is the priest, who is the high priest, as we'll see in just a moment, and he is now the go-between for man and God. Let's put that up here. Getting a little crowded, but it'll work. Now, Jesus Christ is the go-between. He is the priest between man and God. No man now can fit this here, that position, and I'll show you why. In Hebrews, come with me to the book of Hebrews if you have your Bible open. And the book of Hebrews is that better thing, that better covenant. And this shows what Jesus Christ did on the cross, exactly the mechanics of what he did. And it talks a lot about his priesthood. In Hebrews 2:17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It is no longer through the blood of bulls and goats, but it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that makes atonement for the sins of the people. It's through Jesus Christ now man can go directly to God through the sacrifice of himself. The priests in the Old Testament did what God asked them to do. And they were supposed to do that, offer that bull on the altar and shed that blood. They were supposed to do that, and that was right. But when time proceeded, something changed. God is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the things he commands man to do and asks of man and requires of man for faith and for forgiveness of sins changes. And we see that even in this, even going this far into Jesus Christ here. Before it was through the blood of bulls and goats. Hebrews 4:14. I want to make sure I give you the most important verses that I can. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says, he is the high priest who has gone where? Who has passed into the heavens. Jesus Christ is not only the high priest, he was the sacrifice, and now he has gone into the heavens. He's passed into the heavens as he ascended on high. Now what he's done as he's gone into heaven, he's taken the office of the priesthood with him. The priesthood is no longer here on earth. He's up in heaven. He's the high priest. The priesthood has gone with him. It's no longer here. It is no longer required of man to be a priest. But there are those who call themselves priests, but it's just a misunderstanding of God's word. It's reaching back here and grabbing something that's Jewish in nature and trying to fit it in to us today here where it doesn't fit. And it said he was without sin. Those priests that offered sacrifices back in Israel's day had sin, and they had to do it once a year, and they were never perfected by that Levitical law. So in Hebrews 10, it says, in verse 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through this offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time it took. No more sacrifice for sin, no more altar, no more performing of the sacrifice that pictures Jesus Christ to die, but he has done it once for all. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So it's Jesus Christ who sat down at the right hand of Father after finishing all the work that he had to do. And he did that for you and for me. And he did it for sins. It says he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is our go-between now. The Bible verse says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let me read them to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is good to God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is one mediator. There's no other way to go to God. There is no other way. John 14:6. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God, to the Father, but by me, Jesus Christ said. And here it said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Not a saint, not a praying to the Mary, or anything else will bring you to God. It's through Jesus Christ and through his blood by which we are saved today. In Ephesians 1:7, and I'll close it up with this verse here, and you listen to the words that God says. It says, talking about Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And the other places in the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He is our sacrifice. He's our priest. We don't need that office anymore. It's already passed away and done away in Israel. And God has started something new called grace. And we're redeemed through his blood. And won't you believe in that today and be saved? Thank you.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.